This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Tom Swarbrick.
Very good morning to you. It has just gone midnight on Saturday, the 7th of November. You are listening to Late Nights with Tom Swarbrick here on LBC. If you've just joined the programme, welcome to you. And welcome to you, wherever it is you are listening to us, around the UK or the world. Very good to have your company. Tonight, the president tweets. Yeah. I had such a big lead in all of these states late into election night, he says, only to see the leads miraculously disappear as the days went by. Perhaps these leads will return as our legal proceedings move forward. That's the president. Which, to me, betrays a lack of understanding about how the votes were going to be counted. Because, yes, he did have a lead on election night in some of these states, and, yes, his lead was whittled down. That's because they counted the election day votes in most of these states first, and then they counted the mail-in ballots. The mail-in ballots seem to have broken much more for Mr. Biden, not least because Donald Trump spent much of the campaign telling his supporters not to bother voting by mail-in ballots because they were done so fraudulently. He says perhaps these leads will return as our legal proceedings move forward. Just on those legal proceedings, the lawsuit that has been filed in Pennsylvania in the last few hours claims there were 21,000 dead people on the Pennsylvanian voter roll ahead of the 2020 election, arguing the state violated its own laws by not properly maintaining voter rolls. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But that does not suggest that any of the 21,000 deceased people that may or may not have been on those voter rolls voted for anybody. He's not got a lot. But then neither have we yet on this programme to suggest that Joe Biden is any closer to becoming the 46th President of the United States. That address he was due to give the nation from a car park somewhere in his home state seems to be off. Simon Marks is LBC's correspondent in Washington. Simon, bring us the latest, sir. Good morning.
I've decided to break the logjam, Tom.
Oh, you're calling it?
I've called it in one sense, in that I've got a tray of lamb chops upstairs, and I've decided that the only way this race is going to end is if I put them in the oven. Because if I stick them in the oven, I guarantee you the television networks call the election and Joe Biden will come out and speak, wrecking the lamb chops. So I'm going for
love
it.
Lamb chops.
There is no update as to whether we are going to see or hear from the former vice president tonight. Certainly there was a tremendous sense of expectation that he would appear, although we've never formally been told by the Biden campaign that he was going to be making this speech. But certainly the stage had been prepared in Wilmington, Delaware, for an address that everybody seemed to think was going to happen in about an hour's time. The vote counts are showing that Joe Biden's lead is growing in Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Nevada, but shrinking in Arizona. In Pennsylvania, his lead's up about 3,000 votes since you and I last looked at the results. He's up to 14,500 advantage over Donald Trump. In Georgia, his lead's only about 4,000 votes. There's going to be a recount there. We know that already. In Nevada, 20,000. Nate Silver from the website 538.
Oh, yeah. He's having a shocker, isn't he?
Is theorising that one of the reasons why the networks may not have called this race is that they want to wait until Joe Biden's advantage in at least two of these states is recount proof. And for that, he's got to get margins of upwards of 30,000 votes above Donald Trump in these states. And he hasn't done that yet. I mean, Georgia, you can forget about because we know there's going to be a recount there already. But he'd need another 20,000 or so in Pennsylvania and another 15,000 or so in Nevada to avoid the possibility of an automatic recount. So maybe that's what they're waiting for. And I also just think, you know, the networks have to be aware. While I recognize that this is an algorithmic, mathematical decision that they have to make, it's also a very political combustible decision in these times, because if you call the election for Joe Biden right now, 70 million Donald Trump supporters are going to be absolutely furious. So that's where we stand.
Can I read you a tweet from Jake Tapper, who is CNN anchor?
Always.
He says that, according to CNN, in Allegheny County, Pennsylvania, Which is where a lot of focus is now on the votes that are left to come in that particular county. I'm just trying to get up on my screen, actually,
what county is
breaking. So they've processed 5,345 ballots, 4,000 plus of them for Joe Biden. So that is going to add to the numbers in a count in a particular county that is breaking Democrat, in a state that is breaking Democrat, put Joe Biden over 50%, and then maybe...
Maybe. I mean,
maybe lamb chops.
That, by the way, is one of... I'll go and put the lamb chops in just to make sure it happens. Allegheny County, it's worth making the point, is they had to stop the count there yesterday because of legal action that the president was launching there, and they had to wait until the case was heard and thrown out, so they couldn't carry on with the count. So it's interesting that those numbers are coming in. I mean, there's another aspect to this decision that Joe Biden's got to make. I mean, obviously, he's got to decide, does he appear and what does he say? But if he doesn't go ahead and declare that he's president-elect, if he abandons the appearance... Donald Trump, having threatened him in that tweet a little bit earlier this evening from the White House, Joe Biden should not wrongfully claim the office of the president, will feel emboldened as though he's won a victory. And if Joe Biden comes out and simply says, be patient, be calm, count all the votes, I'll see you tomorrow, then there will be those who say Joe Biden is bottling it. So these are complicated calculations that... Joe Biden's campaign team has got to be making tonight.
Can't imagine what it must be like, on just as a sort of human thing, to have been campaigning for this most of your life, or at least having started a campaign for this some 33 years ago, spent your entire life in Washington politics, gone through the trauma that he has experienced in his personal life, with the loss of his daughter and his wife, and then more recently his own son. And apparently that was the reason why he didn't stand in 2016.
Yes, exactly.
Because they were still dealing with the fallout from his son's death. To get to the point where you're in a campaign, the absolute toll that a campaign takes on an individual who's going through it, the horror show of a physical wreck that one must be by the end of it, and he's 70-odd, and there's a global pandemic rolling around. To get to this point and still not be able to touch it. I mean, he must be crawling the walls.
Well, and last night he looked physically exhausted. I mean, at one point he was almost having to be helped into the car after he left the Chase Center. I think that the sheer physical exhaustion at the end of this campaign anyway must be enormous. Be interesting to know. I don't know the answer to this. Be interesting to know if anyone's doing one of those fly on the wall documentaries the scenes that you only then see subsequently. There was a fabulous one that was done with Mitt Romney.
Yes, I saw that.
I don't know if you saw that, but
yeah,
when he was running
good.
Against Obama, and it was amazing because you were actually in the room the night of the election, and in the room as they were praying together as a family before Romney went out and made his concession speech. Be very interesting to know if that's going on in Wilmington
tonight.
That
was such a great... if people haven't seen it, I think you'll probably find it on the iPlayer. I think it's on the BBC. Or might be rolling around Netflix somewhere. But it was, as you say, absolutely terrific to see inside a campaign of that importance at those particular moments. And Mitt Romney genuinely comes across as a really nice guy.
Yeah.
They're probably too nice, actually, for the job that he was auditioning for.
Just looked it up. It's called Mitt, so you'll find it. M-I-T-T, Mitt.
Yeah, it is. Those moments are incredible.
Watch.
Yeah, it's really worth it. There's a moment where he's landing, I think, before the final debate, and he looks out of the window of the plane and he says something like, gosh, look at all the traffic jams, and why are those traffic jams happening? And someone tells him that it's because the Secret Service have shut the roads around the airport for him so that they can get him to the debate. And he's sort of slightly blown away by all that.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I was reliving some great concession speeches last night on the air.
Wow, and you've had a long few days.
I ran a bit of the Bob Dole concession speech when he lost to Bill Clinton. And I'd forgotten until I looked at it again to pull the sound for last night on the air. The wonderful line that Bob Dole had as he opened his speech, he said to the assembled Republicans, he said, as I was coming down here in the elevator to speak to you, I realised that tomorrow is the first day for decades I've got nothing to do, which I thought was just a fantastic line. I've got nothing on.
I don't think that's going to be the case for either of these two men tonight. And Simon, I've had a message from someone on Twitter called Cloudy. who has replied to your tweet, which said, I'm back with Tom right after the midnight news on LBC, and I've got a bit of news, though it's not what you're expecting. This person, Cloudy, has said, I've just switched on LBC right now on the basis of this tweet. It had better be worth it. Simon, the floor is yours.
It's my lamb chops. I'm going to go and stick them in the oven. It's definitely worth it. You haven't tasted my lamb chops,
no,
Cloudy.
Well, one day, when this is all over, we should get together and enjoy the lamb chops. Simon, thank you very much indeed. Simon Marks, LBC's correspondent in Washington.